Well, I want to share with you two ideas from Rav Meir Simcha. Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, of course, the author of Meshech Chachma, the author of Ar Sameach. Rabbi Sobolevsky often points out that when Rav Meir Simcha wanted, he had two svarim that he was ready to publish, that he was ready to go with, and he was advised to do Ar Sameach first and then Meshech Chachma, because the feeling was that you don't want to put out a Sefer HaChumash first, because then everyone's going to think you're a lightweight. So first you put out a Sefer of Lamdus, and everyone knows that you're a serious Talmud Chacham, and then people will be more makabel your Sefer HaChumash. Little did everybody know that the Sefer HaChumash was the most Lamdusha Sefer that people have on their bookshelves. Meaning it's not a Sefer HaChumash, it's a Sefer on all of Torah Shebaal Peh as it relates to Chumash. So it was. But anyway, so one idea from the Ar Sameach, one idea from the Meshech Chachma, same person, and hopefully we can put them together and develop somewhat of a coherent message. But first, three questions. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, associates six consecutive words in a pasuk with the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. It's a fairly well-known Gemara. It's the Gemara that's immediately followed by the six questions that one is asked up in Shemayim after a person dies. But the pasuk says, "Vaya emunas itecha chosin yeshuos chachmas v'das." And the Gemara says, yeah, each word in that pasuk refers to a different seder of Mishnayos. Emunos zeh seder zra'im, itecha zeh seder moed, and so on. And the word das, if you cheshbin it out, refers to seder taharos. So the question is, what does Deya have to do specifically with Seder Taharos, any more than any of the Svarim of Mishnayos or any other section of the Torah? Of course, you need Deya in order to be able to study any area of Torah. Why is Deya associated specifically with Seder Taharos? That is question number one. Now, if you look at the end of Sefer Tahara in the Rambam, as you know, often takes liberties at the end of each section to veer from halacha and offer some divrei hashkafa, musar, agada, at the end of the Sefer. So at the end of Sefer Tahara, he really takes the opportunity to wax poetic. And the Rambam writes, davar barur ugolui. It is clear and obvious, shatumos v'ataharos gzeres hakosav hein. That the whole concept of Tumen Tahara, it's all gzeres hakosav. Ve'enum nidvarim shadayta shalodam achra'aso. And it's not the kind of thing that a person could be able to reason and logic and figure it out. Varein mechal achukim. These are all chukim. V'chinat tevila minatumos mechal achukim hu. And also being tovel from a tumah is all a chok. That a mikvah with 40 saw is good. 40 saw chaser, one log is no good. And that a mayan works for certain things. And a mikvah for the whole thing is chukim. Sheina tumah tit otsoa shetavor b'mayim. Tumah is not mud or dirt or something that you can cleanse yourself, that you can clean off with water, right? That in fact, the Chazal even had to make a gezerah, right? That you're not allowed to bathe after the mikvah, because what would impression would people get if people think that tumah is some sort of uncleanliness? They're going to see someone go into a mikvah. You've seen some mikvahs; they're not all pristine, right? So someone's going to go into a mikvah that looks like an avocado smoothie, and he's going to come out of that mikvah, and then he's going to go and take a shower, and everyone's going to say lo elu mitarim, el elu mitarim. Everyone's going to assume it's the shower afterwards that's mitair him, but of course it's not. It's the mikvah. It's the avocado smoothie that was mitair him, right? That he dipped in. So it's all tuma. It's tuma tara is not. It's not dirt that needs to be washed off. And then the Rambam says, but there's a remez in Tumentara. Just like if a person goes and makes the effort to become tahar and does what he's supposed to do, even though nothing physically changes about him, he's just as clean or just as dirty as he was before, everything physically about him is the same, he nevertheless becomes tahar. So too, if a person tries to be mitar his spiritual personality from the tumos that affect that, Shehein machshavos ha'oven v'deos ha'ra'os, like thoughts of sin and deos ha'ra'os, kiven shehiskin b'liva lifrosh meos ha'netzos ve'vi nafsho b'mei hadas tahar, that if a person immerses himself in Torah, immerses himself in the mei hadas, he becomes tahar. And then he writes, Hashem barachim avarab mikol chet avon v'ashmi yitarenu amein, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mitahir all of us. Now we know we're supposed to read a lot into when the Rambam uses that word, kishen. that whenever the Rabbah makes a parallel, especially when he uses such a word, kishem, to very, very clearly highlight that he's making a parallel, there's something to that parallel. There is a connection between Tumatara and what the Rambam calls machshavos and deos, or what we would call in our language hashkafos and midos, right? When the Rambam talks about deos, he's always talking about midos tovos. So what exactly is the depth of that connection? Beyond the fact that you can change your hashkafos and midos, just like you can change tumah through a tara process, is there any deeper connection between tumah tara on the one hand and hashkafos and midos on the other hand? I mean, a lot of things can be changed. You can change clothing also. I mean, what's the kashem? Just because it can be changed, there's got to be something more there. And a third question. A person has tzara'as, so it's really a dermatological condition, but he doesn't go to a doctor. Instead, he goes to a kohen. Every year I tell the story, there's a guy in my shul who is a kohen who also happens to be a doctor. And one time, another fellow in my shul had some sort of rash on his arm, and he wasn't sure, you know, what to do about it, so he went to his friend, the doctor. He's a cardiologist. I don't know why he thought he'd be, but he went to his friend, the doctor. He said, "What is this?" And as a cardiologist, he knew that he wouldn't know what it is. He said, "It's tzara'as." So then the guy said, came over to me. He's like, "I have a rash. I went to a kohen. I asked what it is, and he declared it to be tzara'as. Am I a mitzora? Like, do I actually have tzara'as?" Right? I mean, you go to the kohen, and the kohen's declaration is what makes you tamei or tzar. The diagnosis of the kohen and his declaration is what's matame the person. So the pasuk says v'ra'a hakohen es hanega, that the kohen sees the nega, umara nega amok meyor besaro nega tzara'asu, and then it says v'ra'ahu hakohen v'timeyoso. So it says twice that the kohen sees it, but slightly different words. V'ra'a hakohen, the kohen sees, v'ra'ahu hakohen, the kohen sees him. What exactly is the difference between the first time that the Torah describes the Kohen seeing it and the second time the Torah describes the Kohen seeing it before being metameh, the person with that sense of finality? So again, three questions. What does say the Torahs have to do with Deah more so than anything else? Question number two, what is this equation that the Rambam has between Tumah Tara on the one hand and Midos and Hashkafos on the other hand? And question three, what is the expression or the change of expression from V'ra'ah to V'ra'ahu? So the Arsameach has the following chiddush. Points out that Sefer Vayikra starts with the halachos of Kabanos, but in this week's parsha, starting in Parsha Tazria, it transitions from Kabanos to Tumah Tara. Right, a total transition of topic. Right, Kabanos is Kachim, and now we move into Taros, a total different section of the Torah. And the Arsameach explains that there's a very fundamental difference between those two sections of the Torah, of Sefer Vayikra, between the topic of Kachim versus the topic of Tumah V'Tara. He explains that Korbanos are primarily meant to achieve Kapara, sometimes for a Mezid, most often for a Shogeg, never ever for an Ones, right? Meaning an Ones doesn't, may not require Kapara. Someone who's an Ones who didn't have any intent or any negligence in his Avera doesn't need Kapara of a Korban, may not need Kapara at all. But that's what a Korban is for. Hilchos Tumah doesn't have that division, right? If a person becomes Tamei Ba'ones, it's exactly the same as if he becomes Tamei on purpose. A guy walks right into a cemetery purposely, he's the same level of Tumah as a guy who's just sitting at a Shabbos table and the fellow sitting next to him drops dead on the spot, right? Meaning, he looked healthy, I wasn't trying to become Tamei, he just dropped dead, and I ran out of the house as soon as he died, after I tried to save him or whatever, right? I ran out of the house as soon as he died. So nevertheless, same exact level of Tumah. It doesn't matter. Tamei Ba'onis, Baratam, B'mez, B'shog, it doesn't make a difference. Person is just as Tamei. The Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos, as we mentioned, connects Hilchos Tumah Tahara with Machshavos and Deos, meaning Tumah Tahara, when you appreciate what that element of Tumah Tahara, you appreciate what the Rambam's doing, right? Meaning that element of Tumah Tahara says that it doesn't matter why. If you have Tumah, you have Tumah, regardless of whether it was your fault or not. So perhaps, says Yor Samech, what the Rambam is trying to do is he's trying to tell us that Deos and Machshavos, that Midos and Hashkafos, it doesn't matter why. Just as like Tumah Tahara, the idea of an Ones doesn't potter a person, when it comes to Emuna, even if a person holds those opinions through poor education or counterproductive education, there's no exemption, there's no Anus Rachmana Patre. on such things. Right? Rabbi Chanan's famous essay in Kovitz Ma'amarim about Emunah and how are you supposed to expect a person who was never educated and never raised with any sense of Emunah to... And yet, the expectation is yes, that he's got to figure it out. He's got to figure out Emunah, regardless of what his background. The same is true for Midos. A person may be a bulvan of a person because he wasn't raised correctly. You know, he wasn't well steered by his parents and taught, you know, proper protocols and derech eretz. But if he's not a bal midos, at the end of the day, he's not a bal midos. Hashem Shechina resides on a person only who's tohar from machshavos v'deos, from hashkavos and midos that are bad and that are counterproductive, regardless of whether it's his fault that he became tameh. The Marsha, Nat Gemara and Shabbos, which associates das with Seder Taros, explains that deos means ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh means a sense of hashras hashchina that a person has, and that's tied to Seder Taros. So if das refers to midos and hashkafos, it shares a very critical characteristic with the concept of tumantara, namely that whether it's your fault or not is completely irrelevant. A person simply will not have a sense of hashras hashchina until he gets those matters in order, until he gets his midos in order, and until he gets his hashkafos in order. There simply will not be hashras hashchina. That is yisod number one. That is the Or Sameach, very hashkafic kind of yisod. Now we move to the Mesh Chachma, and then we'll see if we can put them together. Same author, different sefer. Mesh Chachma deals with the question of the switch from Vera'a HaKohen to Vera'ohu HaKohen. And the Mesh Chachma points to a Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Zayinam and Beis. The Gemara says that if a Kohen came to examine a Nega during Yom Tov, the Kohen has to realize what the ramifications of declaring the guy Tameh are going to be. Meaning here it is, it's Erev Pesach, right? And the guy comes and I have a rash and he runs to the urgent care and the Kohen, the urgent Kohen care or whatever, and the Kohen is there and he looks at me and he's like, oh boy, this is definitely Tzara'as. What's going to be if I tell him that it's Tzara'as? So now he's going to have to go Michutz L'machaneh. He's not going to be with his family for the whole Yom Tov. His kids aren't going to be able to show off that they know the Manishtana in 17 languages. You know, they're not going to be able to ask for an Afikoman present. The whole Yom Tov is going to be ruined for his entire family. It's going to be a rough couple of weeks, and it will upend his entire family life for Yom Tov. It would be a huge disruption. So the Gemara says, in such a case, the Kohen can defer judgment until after Yom Tov. He can say, come see me again after Yom Tov. The Mesh Chachma suggests that at first the Kohen just looks at the Nega coldly, just to assess its status. Vera'a HaKohen. Let me look, let me see. What does it look like? Is it white? Is it dark? Are their hairs growing? Do their hairs change? Whatever he needs to look at in the Nega. But then before declaring anybody Tameh, the Kohen has to account for the entire matzav of that person's life, the impact of that declaration, and of a declaration of that nature, and the impact it's going to have at this moment in this person's life. Ra'ahu HaKohen. Mesh Chachma was apparently especially excited about this vart, because I don't know if he always does this, but he concludes with two words, Binazeh. Meaning, understand this, internalize this. This is really important. So Mesh Chachma thought that this was a yesod. You got to get it straight. Even doing the right thing, and this is really, just saying it differently, even doing the right thing, if you do the right thing at the wrong time, without taking the larger context into account, it's unnecessarily cruel. I was talking to Rabbi Shai Shechter, you get the idea, I talk to him a lot. And he was telling me about some of his conversations with Louis Har, right? That's his name, the hostage that was rescued by the heroic Israeli mission. Now, the heroic IDF mission. Now, Louis Har is not religious at all. He had no shaykhus to religion. He was very anti-religious, actually. So how did he become so anti-religious? He had no shaykhus to anyone from. How would he become anti-religious? Rabbi Shechter told me that he had told him that he did have one interaction with religious people in his life. And that was a sister-in-law of his became a Balz Tshuva or something, and they were making a simcha, and they invited him to come. It was like a bar mitzvah or something, so he had to come to the shul to be in the shul at the simcha. And they were like, okay, what can we give the uncle who doesn't know from anything and doesn't, because he would have trouble saying a bracha, like doesn't believe in God, what do we give to an uncle like that? So they said, okay, we'll give him Hagbah. Okay, so he got up to do Hagbah, he got up to the Bima, and a huge fight broke out in the shul. can you let such a person do Hagba? Can you be mechabit him? Can you give him? Can he touch a Sefer Torah? Huge fight. He's like, I don't need this. I don't need any of this. This is what's going to happen. Embarrass him as he gets up. And that was it. He said, I was done. I was totally done with religion. He was so shocked that there were a bunch of charedim in our base medrash dancing for him. You know, like because again, we're charedim. So he was like, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that such a concept exists. That there's such a thing as like nice charedim. It's unbelievable how like, you know, a halachic discussion. Let's imagine that's a halachic discussion of who you can give what kibbutz to, right? Great for a 10-minute halachashir maybe, or for a base medrash. The right discussion at the wrong time is damaging. It's extremely damaging, and not having deferring a discussion to a later time is sometimes extremely helpful. The other example that comes up from the event on Sunday night, when what's it? Rachel was her name, the mom of the of Hirsch. So she when she said how she became frum, right? Did you cop that story that she said? She said she was 13 years old. Her parents switched her into a Orthodox day school, and not for religious reasons. She didn't say what the reasons were, but she said they had to switch her into this Orthodox day school, having nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for religious reasons. And she had never seen anything Orthodox in her life before. So she was all excited for the first day of school, and she put on her brand new purple corduroy pants as a 13-year-old girl. And she showed up to an Orthodox school with purple corduroy pants. And she looked around and she's like, I guess you're not supposed to wear purple corduroy. She had no idea. And she said that whole first day when she was so self-conscious, like, not a single classmate, not a single teacher, not a single administrator looked at her any differently or said a word to her that entire day. Now, at some point, the conversation was going to have to be had with the 13-year-old girl attending an Orthodox school that you can't come with purple corduroy pants or any color corduroy pants or any kind of pants. But, you know, at some point, the conversation was going to have to happen, right? But the right conversation at the wrong time. And she said, when that happened, I said, I want to be with these people. These are my people. I want to be like that. Can you imagine? Like the contrast of those two images was just like so stunning to me. The right conversation at the wrong time and the wrong conversation at the right time or whatever, you know, delaying the conversation to the proper time is so, so critical. The idea of the Mesh Chachm is that when the Kohen is Metame, he's allowed to take into account, has to take into account the bigger picture of the person's life. But that sensitivity in punishment is very much unlike the nature of the sin of the Baal Lashon Hara himself. When someone speaks Lashon Hara, they specifically focus on one element of the other person's personality, behavior, and that's what they fixate on, and therefore they can speak Lashon Hara. If you saw the bigger picture and you know that the person's a little grumpy because they only slept 2 hours last night because they were busy doing chesed in a hospital till 3 a.m. or whatever, or because they have a family member who's ill, or they're doing it. If you saw the whole picture, if you knew everything that was behind it, you wouldn't be able to bring yourself to speak Lashon Hara. Ignoring the bigger picture of a person's positive qualities and impact and talk about only that one detail that you saw, that's the very sin of a Lashon Hara, of the Baal Lashon Hara. Question is, as nice as this idea is, it's not normally the way the Torah operates. You know, normally it's Midah Kadesh, Midah, and a guy get, you know, for God. If it's Adrab, if his sin was not looking at the bigger picture, why should we look at the bigger picture with him? We should Midah Kadesh, Midah. We should say, okay, this is where you are now. You have Tzaras, and that's it, and you're done. So let's put the two ideas together. The Or Sameach, that poor Midos and Hashkafos, even if Ba'ones, are problematic, and the Mesh Chachma, that the Kohen looks at the entire situation before passing judgment. One of the unique characteristics of the Aveira of Lashon Hara is that even, and I don't know, this is striking, even in the frumest communities, it's an Aveira that's entirely socially acceptable. It's in certain circumstances, a person sometimes is made to feel that it's not socially acceptable not to speak Lashon Hara or listen to Lashon Hara. Right? Meaning I can't easily come up with other examples of serious averos that violate kama v'kama lavin and kama v'kama esel in the Torah, as the Chafetz Chaim enumerates, that are totally socially acceptable in the frumest places. Right? You know, a person living in a frum community takes out a cheeseburger and eats it for lunch, they're going to be like, what's wrong with that guy? Right? He's going to be shunned. unless he's very, very rich. But you know, but typically he would be shunned. It's almost not socially acceptable to avoid lashon hara. Maybe the reason that we don't do mida keneged mida in the declaration of the tumah of the mitzvah is that we're trying to emphasize that the mida of not looking at the bigger picture of a person's life and focusing only on what's right in front of you is such a negative mida that even when normal protocol would demand that we succumb to that mida in punishing him, mida keneged mida again. No, but if it's a mida, that's a bad mida. If it's a mida that is deos ra'os, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us we can't succumb to it even in carrying out his ratzon. Even ba'ones. It's not going to help the fact that we're in ones. The Gemara's insistence on being sensitive to the person's plight overrides the importance of mida keneged mida. Because as Yosef Meir pointed out, development of bad midos for the Kohen, even under the most excusable of circumstances, will leave us damaged and tame. And the Baal Lashon Hara might justify. He grew up in an environment where people always speak about other people, where every Shabbos table conversation includes Lashon Hara. He doesn't know any other way of holding a conversation. He's an ones. But we demonstrate to him, through his very Torah process, that there are no excuses when it comes to midos. That a person has to be able to develop that sense of midos, that sense of proper midos and proper hashkafa, and that there is no possibility of onus rachmana patre. Okay, sorry, I went a little longer over there.